Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Scottish Sun Sports Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor. Today I'm joined by Gareth Law. May I first of all wish a Happy New Year to all our listeners. The first podcast of 2017. Gareth, are you well?
Very well. Looking forward to another new year.
Full of good opinions and analysis to come?
Can't promise that, but I'll do my best.
A number of days into the transfer window for January. Already interesting moves by the Old Firm. We'll start with Celtic, Gareth. Fascinating move for the Ivory Coast teenager, Kouassi Aboué. Apologies if the pronunciation is a mile out. 19-year-old international from Krasnodar. Is this a typical Celtic move like they have done in recent years, Gareth, where it's clearly a player of great potential?
As you say, he's 19. I think he's only played about 19 times as well for Krasnodar in a couple of seasons there. So on the face of it, he's not got a great deal of pedigree as far as first team experience goes. But you look at the price tag, £2.8 million, four-year deal, ready to offer him.
That's a big investment.
It's a massive investment for somebody so young and so effectively inexperienced. But I think what Brendan Rodgers has got, which certainly Ronnie Dyla probably didn't have beforehand, was the confidence of the board to go and spend this amount of money now on a player. They've got a belief in the manager. Presumably the manager would have asked for backing anyway. That was part of his kind of deal coming up here in the first place. But when he just has to point to the striker he's got playing up front and how much he cost Moussa Dembele, $500,000, you just have to use him as an example. And I think the board surely must believe now that Rodgers has got the ability to uncover and the contacts to uncover talents that perhaps we don't know about. He's certainly a name that when it was breaking yesterday, I think all of us had to go and have a kind of look into his background. 2 or 3 days in, I think the start of the year was a bit of a slow burner. The first 2 days with concrete transfer arrivals certainly warmed up yesterday with this news.
I think it's a particularly fascinating one, Gareth, in a sense that it's a couple of months now since John Park left as head of recruitment. And, you know, over the best part of 10 years, John's track record with unearthing players that no one had heard of but who had potential and subsequently developed and were sold for huge money, I think that'd been well established. In his absence, it was always going to be interesting how Celtic approached this transfer window. This is a kind of signing, I think, that was very much a hallmark of John's before, but clearly Brendan's using his own contacts now. And as you say, given the enormous success of Brendan this season, the board are going to back him 100%.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think, obviously, the players he's brought in, you know, Scott Sinclair has done so well as well. You do look at Doris de Vries and you look at Kolo Touré and maybe they've not done what Brendan would have hoped or anticipated that they would have done when he brought them in. But you can't argue with when he's spent the bigger money, the bigger bucks, you know, with your Sinclair, it's just come off. So you've got to think Aboué is going to be a player. You wonder how long it'll take him to get used to the game here. As you know, we both said, he's so young, and where he's going to fit in. I mean, that midfield's been doing all right this season. Possibly he's bringing him in not looking for this season, you know, not looking for him to hit the ground running. He's already looking, you know, beyond the end of this season into those Champions League qualifiers and bedding him in rather than bringing him in the summer and expecting him to, you know, spark then. He's now giving him a little bit of time to bed in and get used to things here first.
Although there'll be a big expectancy on the kid, because at £2.8 million, I mean, that's a huge outlay. I mean, they brought in Victor Wanyama at £900,000, and of course we all know how he developed, but it was £900,000, so there was less of a pressure.
Yeah,
£2.8 million is not that far off what Scott Sinclair cost.
It's a bit like Simunovic coming in as well. You know,
yeah,
you know, it's different when you bring in a guy for £500,000, even just as a sell-on potential. It's obviously easier to make a bigger markup when you're bringing a guy in for near on £3 million. They must think that he's got massive potential to make them a lot of money in the future as well.
I mean, it's a very imaginative move.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, from our point of view, Gareth, it's a fascinating one to write about. It's more interest. So from our point of view, it's very welcome. By all accounts, he's a bit of a hothead in the pitch as well.
I think that'll be interesting to see how he adapts to things here. He's obviously in Glasgow today. The deal still hasn't been, you know, it's not over the line yet. There's still a work permit. There's still personal terms to be agreed, I think. Certainly with the way things were being talked about yesterday, Celtic are quite confident that that won't be too much of an issue. Also intrigued by the talk that Brendan Rodgers is also working on another big money deal as well. So there might be more news before the end of the month. One thing with Brendan Rodgers' arrival and the players he's able to attract, it has kind of got that interest. You know, it's just generated a bit more interest. Yes, Kwasi Abui is a bit kind of, we don't know a lot about him, but it's just generally, you know, there's money being spent now, the manager's being backed, he's bringing in players, there's confidence amongst Celtic right now. So I think it's great to see that, you know, happening in Scotland.
It's a big statement by Celtic, isn't it? Early into the window. We're always expecting Rodgers to bring in new players and spend a bit of money, but so soon. You know, they've got a massive lead in the league.
Just going to say that, Derek. You could argue that that's what I was kind of referring to earlier. They don't need him now. They don't need him now because, effectively, that league is done and dusted. Presumably, they must be looking into the future.
Forward planning.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then credit to them, because that makes sense. You know, Rodgers obviously went through an emotional roller coaster last summer trying to make the group stages. He's clearly trying to make that a bit easier this summer.
Yep.
You know, as I said, a big statement by Celtic, and you're fairly confident there'll be one or two more coming in, do you think, Gareth?
I think there'll be one more. I think he's generated and deserving of that confidence from the board in his targets. I think he's earned that.
I think in terms of authority, Gareth, I think no Celtic manager, the last Celtic manager to have the authority that Brendan has is Martin O'Neill.
Yeah.
I think basically what Brendan wants, he will get.
And I think added to that, you know, you've done press conferences with him, we've all done press conferences with him. When he speaks to us, there's a clarity there. You know, he has a message, he has an opinion, he has an argument, but he can justify it and back it up in clear terms. And you can imagine whether it's dealing with the players, whether it's dealing with the board, you know, he can get his message across and put across a very decent argument when he's going for players, when he's setting out teams, tactics. There's a clarity about him as well, which will only make things easier for him when he's wanting something.
Who would you anticipate would be heading out the exit door at Parkhead, Gareth? Because you would have thought that Rodgers, as keen as he is to strengthen from a position of strength, he must also be looking to trim that squad. I think he's on record as stating that he doesn't like too big a squad, and clearly he has a lot of players who really, they're not going to be featuring for him.
Yeah, I mean,
what kind of names would you imagine?
Well, there's already been talk about Palermo and Logan Bailey. I think you would imagine he'll be going. He's certainly not going to feature with De Vries there now. Boyata, I think I wouldn't be surprised to see him on the move. I don't think he's done too much. Him or
Effie Ambrose,
of course. I mean, there's a
Nadir Chifchi
as well. If you'd asked me 2 or 3 months ago, I'd have said Gary Mackay-Steven, but he's obviously came back in and done okay at times. You know, you look at your Ryan Christie's, your Scott Allen's, you know, there's guys there, there's a plethora of players there that, you know, some of them have got potential.
I think he's keen on Ryan Christie. I do think he's, I mean, it'll be frustrating for Ryan Christie. I think he likes him, but certainly Scott Allen, you're needing binoculars to see him at the moment at Parkhead.
Yeah, I think you're right about Ryan Christie, but he's not getting that regular game time, and I just wonder, I'm not saying he'll go on a permanent basis. Possibly he just needs a 6-month loan deal somewhere.
Something similar to what benefited Liam Henderson.
Exactly, yeah. Well, and you mentioned Liam Henderson, there's another one who seems to have the confidence of his manager whenever you speak to him and Brendan. They both speak highly of each other, but he needs game time.
I think a lot of the time when we see a player, particularly a big club, getting sent out on loan, your instinct is, well, he's not part of the plans. But in fairness, there can be instances where a player is part of the plans and the loan move is genuinely to boost everyone. And it boosted Henderson. Do you think it would boost Ryan Christie to go somewhere and play regularly?
I think
it would. And in turn boost Celtic?
I think it would, because
He's too good a player to be.
He's too good a player, but also, as we've said, talking about Eboué coming in, they don't need Ryan Christie right now to the point that he'd be better off going and playing for a team every week. I think it would benefit both parties because they can do without Christie right now, you know, but he needs football at his age. He needs football now.
I really feel for Ryan Christie, Gareth. I'm sure the dealings you've had with him, you've been very impressed with him as well. I think he's a good kid.
Yeah.
I think he's a very good player, and I think he merits playing regularly somewhere else. I know for a fact that he doesn't particularly want to leave Celtic, but his talent is kind of wasted, I think, and it probably would serve him better going elsewhere.
Yeah.
To then come back a better player for Celtic,
whereas the rest of them, the other names you've mentioned,
there's clearly no future for them.
No, exactly. I mean, I think the writing's on the wall for Ambrose, Boyata, Bailey, Scott Allen, Gary Mackay-Steven. I think the jury's still out on that. Maybe he'll get into the end of the season.
And there's a wages issue. I mean, Celtic clearly they're not short of a penny or two.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, Rodgers will look at his budget and look at the squad, and he'll look to be a bit creative.
Yeah.
You know, if I can get five or six out, I can use that accordingly.
And it's almost the legacy of, it's Ronnie Dyler's legacy, if you like. We always talked about last season how big that squad was. He just kept on adding midfielder after midfielder. So there is a, can we say, wastage that can be got rid of there. So, and without, you know, being detrimental to the squad.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You can watch the goals from all the big SPFL games on the website at thescottishsun.co.uk/sport.
We look at Rangers now. Latest name to the fore is the Arsenal midfielder John Terrell, currently on loan to La Liga strugglers Granada. Again, another player that Mark Warburton has worked with. We revealed yesterday that a proposed move for Jota, who Warburton had worked with at Brentford and who had been at Ibar, it's not going to happen because of finances. How important do you think, Gareth, it is that Warburton certainly strengthens his attacking options? What you've heard about John Terrell?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one. He's got a bit of pedigree. He's got a bit of experience playing
a very good level.
Yeah, in England, and he's also got a bit of experience, as you say, working under Mark himself at Brentford. It seems to be a regular recipe for Rangers signings that they have some association with Mark. A lot of them have done, so he'll know him. It's not gone so well for him this season. He's been out on loan at Granada, and I don't think that move has gone too well. I think originally it was supposed to be a season long loan, and part of the reason the door has been opened for him to go to Rangers is because it just hasn't worked out.
I know it's latterly he's had fitness issues as well,
yeah.
Gareth, which would be, you would think, of some concern. Certainly, you know, the Rangers fans will be studying every detail about any targets, and if they see a player could come in when he's had fitness problems, that's a concern.
Particularly a concern when you look at the numbers on the treatment table at Rangers right now, and add in the fact that, you know, the plan would not have been for Joey Barton to leave so soon, but you know, obviously Cranshaw's out, Rossiter's, you know, not had that run of games because of fitness as well.
We've not seen him since August.
No, so I think the fitness would be a concern. He was voted Birmingham's, I think last season that he was voted Birmingham's Club Player of the Year. So he's certainly got talent.
Mm.
But as you say, I think it could be just as much about whether he can stay fit for long enough to show that talent.
I wonder, Gareth, how important you think this particular transfer window is for Warburton. You know, especially because last summer he signed a lot of players, and it's fair to say most, for one reason or another, have not worked out. And obviously he's got Nico Cranshaw out with a long-term injury. He can't legislate for that. He's got no idea of that. Jordan Rossiter we've not seen since August. Joey Barton, you know, we could go on. From that point of view, I'm just wondering how big a transfer window is this one for Warburton, taking everything into account.
Yeah, I think it's a big transfer window for Mark Warburton and Frank McParland, to be honest. I think there's...
Frank McParland, the head of recruitment. Yeah,
I think just because he was brought in and he was hailed as...
the best in the business.
Yeah, and I think...
Well connected.
Yeah, and I think some Rangers fans would say perhaps that the way his recruitment in the summer has panned out, I say his recruitment, their recruitment has panned out, maybe hasn't totally lived up to that billing.
Mm.
I think it's also possibly difficult with the finances at Rangers as well. I think, you know, there's one thing being able to bring, saying that, you know, he's the best in the business, but sometimes you need a bit of finance to kind of back that up and justify that claim, you know. But I think that this window is going to be a difficult window. I don't think there's going to be a lot of money there for Rangers to spend, hence they're going for the likes of Terrell on a loan. And I think, yes, it's an important transfer window, but if I'm being honest, I haven't got too high an expectation for in terms of the numbers and the quality coming in this window, just purely because of Rangers' position and what they can, what the finances they have or haven't got.
Of course, Sun Sport revealed that striker Joe Gardner, who of course cost Warburton £1.8 million in the last transfer window, he's possibly out for 3 months with a shoulder injury. I'm pretty sure that Warburton would not have been anticipating he might have to look for an actual striker as well. Do you think that might have maybe changed his thinking in terms of at least one more player?
Maybe it's changed his thinking. Well, yes, I think they do need a striker now. Possibly they needed a striker before Joe Garner's injury.
Wasn't exactly scoring for fun, Joe Garner,
no,
was it?
No, and I don't think, to be fair, I mean, Kenny Miller was getting goals, but apart from that, from that front line, there weren't too many others coming that way. You know, they were relying on needing other players to back
it
up. Yeah,
I mean, with the greatest respect to Gardner for, you know, his commitment, his work rate, etc., bullying defenders, the bottom line is he's a striker, never looks like scoring, or rarely looks like scoring.
But I think maybe what that injury might have done is it might have strengthened Mark Warburton's hand in putting an argument forward to the board now as to why he needs that striker. Beforehand, he might have had less of an argument because he had Garner. Now effectively he needs a striker, so it might actually help his argument when he goes to the board now, I think.
Do you, like Celtic, do you anticipate Warburton looking to let one or two go out the door, or does he have a big enough squad to be able to do that, Gareth?
I'm not so sure if he's got a big enough squad to do that. I mean, there's just been this long talk about Martin Waghorn, there's been interest from him, mm-hmm. Bristol City,
still no movement on a contract extension.
Exactly, so I think that'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on. Apart from that, you look at the squad, and despite the numbers that came in the summer, I don't think he's got a lot of slack there. Matt Crooks, maybe. Other than that, can't see a lot of movement there.
Like Sun Sport on Facebook for all the Scottish football latest.
Now, as I said, it's the first William Hill sponsored podcast of 2017. Another particular transfer story that I think is intriguing at the moment concerns Aberdeen's Niall McGinn. You know, he's now got 5-6 months left of his contract. Hearts are very strongly interested, would love to tie him down in a pre-contract. Big player for Aberdeen. I'm sure the Aberdeen fans will be very concerned about the idea of him leaving. How do you read that situation just now, Gareth?
I must admit, Derek, from the moment this came out, my gut was almost telling me that I believe it when I see it happen, him going to Hearts.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I look at it and I think it's not as though Niall McGinn is a guy whose family comes from Edinburgh or, you know, Central Belt, and he's wanting to move back down south to be near a family. Or right now as well, you can't say a move to Hearts is a step up. To me, Hearts right now, you know, we've had people say Cathro's needs time. We've had people say that Cathro, you know, has been promoted ahead of his time. But whichever way you look at it, Hearts are a club in transition.
Mm.
To me, Aberdeen.
You think it'd be a step down for him if he went to Hearts, as things stand at the moment?
Yes, I mean,
at the way clubs are at the moment.
At the very best, it's a step sideways. I don't think. I would presume Aberdeen can offer him more money. I would just. Everything about Aberdeen right now seems a lot more stable than Hearts, and mm-hmm. I don't know. The only attraction is that, to me, or not an attraction, but the only link you can look at it is that he obviously knows Austin McPhee from the Northern Ireland squad.
I suppose if one thing you would understand at this stage of his career, he's 29, He's had an exceptional year for club and country. Starred at the Euros with Northern Ireland. He's entitled to see what else is out there.
Totally.
That would be wise.
I'd be more inclined to think that
she's peak years.
He would sit tight and see what there is on offer come the end, rather than him signing a pre-contract with Hearts. You know, maybe there's clubs down south. You know, you might want to crack down there again. I just think it'd be a strange move if he went at Hearts, particularly right now. If it had been when Robbie Nielsen was there and they were sitting second, fair enough. I mean, you could even argue the point then, possibly, but even then, I still would have found it a strange move.
I mean, in addition to McGinn, do you also think it's key that Derek McInnes at Aberdeen brings back James Maddison for the rest of the season? Because clearly, I think there was an assumption he was coming back from Norwich City. There's a bit of doubt about it, but do you think Maddison is key for Aberdeen if they're going to get second place?
I don't know about key, but I think he's been an important player to them in the first half of the season. He's obviously gone back down to Norwich. Norwich isn't a club that you could say is a happy ship right now. So Madison's gone back down there. The thing is with Maddison,
of course, he can't play for another club. He can't play for a third club in a calendar year.
He can't. And also from Derek McInnes' point of view, though, the benefit of the winter break is, yes, he would want to get it tied up quickly, but to a point, he's got 2.5 weeks to do it.
Yep.
And he's also got 2.5 weeks. Alec Neil he said last week that probably the chances of Maddison going back to Aberdeen will depend on what Norwich can do in the transfer market.
Yep.
So it gives Norwich 2.5 weeks to do a bit of business as well. So I'm not saying we're going to see it happen this week, but
on balance, you think he would come back?
I think he'll come back.
Keep bang up to date with Scottish football by following Sun Sport on Twitter.
Moving away from the transfer window, Gareth, and moving away from the club scene, we look at Scotland and we look at players who can come into a Scotland squad desperately needing, you know, a bit of rejuvenation, a bit of fresh blood. And Ryan Fraser last night, Gareth, has a stormer for Bournemouth against Arsenal, an assist and a goal. Do you see him as being somebody who can come into the Scotland squad and make an impact?
100%. I watched that game last night. That was one of the first things I was thinking when I saw him running at the Arsenal defence, taking them on. I mean, he attracted a lot of criticism.
Yep.
When he went to Bournemouth,
which was very poor, frankly.
Yeah, and you know, back when he went to Bournemouth obviously weren't the club they are now either. You know, in the league they are now, and he's had to go out and he's had his loan spells. He's had injury spells this season, last season. When you looked at him last night, that kind of low centre of gravity, that pace he's got, he almost bullied those defenders, and he's not a big guy. But
well, I have to say, you know, I've read it on Twitter, I've seen supporters talking about his height and how he can't play for Scotland. Well, I mean, Sean Maloney's not exactly a giant.
Yeah.
You know, Akechi Anya, you know, Barry Bannon. I mean, these are players that Ryan Fraser can look in the eye. you know, so, and he's doing it in the English Premier League.
Yeah, and there aren't enough of them now, Derek, that you know, you can just you can ignore them.
No, and I spoke to Eddie Howe a couple of months ago, and Eddie revealed that he'd been in discussions with Gordon Strachan about Ryan Fraser, and in Eddie's mind, Ryan can play for Scotland, so that's good enough for me.
I think the way the campaign has gone so far, I think now is the time for the younger guys. Basically, for Gordon Strachan to map out the future.
We'd rather he was a centre-half, but nevertheless.
You're a bit too short for a centre-half, I think. Yeah.
I think we're both in agreement he could do well for Scotland. Finally, Gareth, obviously the top flight's in a winter break, but we have a superb championship game on Friday night, Hibs-Dundee United. The two that are going for the title, how do you see that one going?
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. I think for the first week of the Premiership winter break, it's brilliant that we've got this game on this week. Brilliant for the clubs. I think it's also brilliant for Scottish football, because without this game on Friday, I think it would look a pretty blank week. It's so tight at the top there. You know, Hibs on 39 points, Dundee United on 38. A big defeat for Dundee United.
Like Dunbarton.
Dunbarton. I mean, it was their first defeat in 15 games, you know, in all competitions.
And at the same time, Chris Commons gets a late winner for Hibs.
87th minute, that free kick goes in.
Are these moments that seasons can...
They can,
you
can, I mean,
you know, can hinge on.
I was looking at it earlier, and you know, Hibs are unbeaten in the last 5 at home. They've lost 1 in their last 11 across all competitions. I just wonder if, in a weird way, that Dumbarton defeat will help Dundee United going into this game.
Prediction?
I'm usually pretty poor at predictions, but I'll have a go anyway. I just wonder if Dundee United might sneak it 2-1. I just think that Dundee United team that Ray McKinnon's built, I know they lost against Dumbarton, but there's a bit of solidity running through it, and I just wonder if United might sneak it.
Gareth, thank you very much, and thank you to all the listeners tuning in to this William Hill sponsored SunSport podcast. All the very best. Bye now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.